So I said to Kevin at a start earlier on in the year, I really felt the Lord had a word that he'd given to me, and I hadn't really prepared it, but I can't fit the word whiz. And I said, look, if there's only time coming up that you want, and today is the day. So I'd been preparing this, and a few weeks ago I sat down and got it all together, but just this week, the start of the week, really felt the enemy starting to say, I'm not sure about it. And I felt like I was being attacked. But I'm standing on the word this morning and believe that the Lord has got a word for us. It's not the normal kind of message that I bring around the heart and worship, but it's a challenging word for each of us this morning, me as well. But I really believe it is for the Lord, and that the Lord's going to use the word this morning to speak to people. And if you're in this room, it's for you, I believe, this morning. So I'm just going to start with a wee word of prayer first. Father, just come and have your way in this place. We thank you for the things that we've already been part of this morning. We thank you that you are here. We feel your presence, and you've been here as we've worshipped you. We thank you for a testimony of Holly's life, and we thank you that you are a miracle-working God. You're a chain-breaker, you're a pain-taker, and we thank you that you can do that in our midst this morning. So the title of the sermon this morning is Let It Go. I'm not going to start singing the song. I've not got the hair for it. But if, Paul, you could just play it at the end, it would tie in quite well. But I'm just speaking about four areas that can hold us back. It can hinder us in life and hinder our relationships with Jesus. The first thing is the feeling that you're not enough. The second thing is the shadow of your past hanging over you. The third thing is untrue words spoken over us, otherwise known as lies. And the last thing is unforgiveness. So we're going to start with the first thing. Have you ever felt that you're not enough? It says in Zephaniah 3:17, this is from there's a prophecy, but he's prophesying, and this part specifically is after a restoration of Israel. And it says in this verse, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take great delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. The Lord is not going to rejoice over anybody that is not worthy. He cares about you this morning. And in Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. If you were to go into that room in there, you'll see loads of paintings in my wa for my kids. Some of them are name masterpieces. In fact, all of them are name masterpieces. But every single one of them has been given to me by my kids, and they mean something to me. And even if they didn't, they're up in the wa, because they see them that it means something to me. But the Lord does not make mistakes. When he makes masterpieces, he's the best creator in this world. He created everything. If he is declared that he has created a masterpiece and you are his masterpiece, you are enough. It reminds us that we are God's handiwork in this verse, created with a purpose. And at the end of the verse, it says, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And if he's got a plan for your life, you must have value for him. In John 10, he's referred to as the good shepherd. And in Matthew 18, verse 12, the parable of the lost sheep, it says he would leave the 99 to go after the one. He cares about you. He loves you that much. And our worthiness this morning is not based on your performance or your achievements, but on your identity as God's children. Just being is far you've got your worth. in God's children. We've been uniquely created and equipped by God to fulfill his purposes. We are enough. So I want to look at Matthew 5, the story card, the Beatitudes, and it's in the Sermon on the Mount. It says, one day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realizes their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. If you've given your life to Jesus this morning, and you've been saved by grace, you're a child of God. And you have something that the world is searching for. So let it shine. It says, you're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. You are enough. Did Omri, when we read that, did Omri say, you are blessed because you've got the best job in the world? You are blessed because you've got the most amount of money in your bank? No, it doesn't say that. But we've got eternal riches this morning. And he's just looking for a people who's going to give him his heart, want to come to him. It says people who are humble, hungry for justice, who show compassion and mercy, whose hearts are pure and strive for purity, and just love him. Kevin spoke Kenfin, my word was going to be about three, I can't remember if it was 3 weeks ago, but does anybody remember his message? He brought up John 1:42. It says, then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, your name is Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which means Peter. The thing Kevin spoke about here is, if you just put it back up, your name is Simon. He says he knows you already. Son of John. He knows where you came from. He knows your history. And you will be called Cephas, which means Peter or rock. And he knows your future. He knows where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. And still, he wants you. You are enough. This morning, it's time to let go of the feeling that you're not enough. Just turn to the person next to you. I've seen people do this before. Always wanted to do this. But turn to the person next to you and say, you are enough. And then turn to the person next to you and say, I am enough. Because that's what we need to believe this morning. I am enough. So everybody's got a story. We've spoken about the past, and everybody's got a past. But let me tell you this morning, the good news is the past is in the past. And it doesn't have to be your future. Your past doesn't have to define where you're going. In Matthew chapter 1, it begins by going through Jesus' lineage. And Jesus didn't only associate with liars, cheaters, murderers, and prostitutes. As you can see, if you read the Gospels, he had them in his lineage as well. And God could have chosen a lineage for him, upstanding people, kings, queens, all that. Now, there is some kings in the lineage of Jesus. And I think if I wrote the story, it would be king this and king that and faultless people. But that is not how the story was written. And the very fact that this was part of his lineage shows us from the beginning that Jesus wanted to associate with people like us. No matter what we've done or what we've become, we're never beyond his love. I'm currently going through the last United event, there was the pastor of Times Square Church in New York was speaking, and he's got a year-long devotional called The 260 Journey. His name's Tim Delena. And in day one, he had a really amazing revelation on this chapter, Matthew 1. Do you remember Kevin spoke about Rahab, the prostitute, about, I can't remember if it was the start of this year or the end of last year. But she was a prostitute, and she, the spies came in to check out the land of Canaan. She protected Jesus' boys. And she was saved as a result of that. In her past, she was a prostitute. But she's also in Jesus' lineage, and she's the great-great-grandmother of King David. The Lord can completely turn situations around. And I want to read this morning what he says about the devotional. I'm taking it straight for the devotional when I get. But it says in verse 5, it says, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. So all that it says in here, whose mother was Rahab. So I'm going to go through the devotional piece just now because it really kind of sets up what I want to say next. So it says, a quick word for today. Almost every time Rahab's name is mentioned in both the Old and New Testaments, it says Rahab the harlot or Rahab the prostitute. How would you like that? If every time someone said your name, they included with it the worst season of your life. Could you imagine that the worst season of your life is your label and tagline connected to your name? What if it looked like this, and he uses his name as an example? Tim the thief, Tim the embezzler, Tim the adulterer, Tim the baby aborter, Tim the wife beater, Tim the divorcee, Tim the porn addicted, Tim the alcoholic, Tim the road rager, Tim the unemployed. Think about what label could be after your name. For Rahab, harlot connects her to her past. If time heals all wounds, we wouldn't need God. But time is not that strong, but God is. There is only one place in the entire Bible where harlot or prostitute is removed from Rahab's name. It's when her name is connected to Jesus in Matthew 1 and the lineage of Jesus. The only way the past lets go of us is when it is confronted with a future in Jesus. When you're connected to Jesus, the future is bigger and greater than your past. Rahab had a huge past and could easily driven her life by the rear view mirror, but something happened to her. She got a windshield bigger than her past. She got Jesus. It's always easier to drive forward using the windshield than the rear view mirror looking in the back. With Jesus, we can look ahead and no longer be held back by the labels of our past. That's amazing. What if your worst season was connected to your name and you were called that daily? Is somebody pleased that we've got Jesus this morning? I'm so grateful. I want to ask you this morning, are you free? Or is there something from your past that's holding you back? Or is there something new that you're struggling to and holding on to that is preventing you moving forward? You can find freedom in Jesus, who died to set you free. He defeated the enemy for you and for me, and sometimes that freedom is a process. It's not necessarily like in the click of a button, but you can find freedom in Jesus this morning. In John 8, there's a woman that was caught in adultery, and I'm sure if you've been in church for any time, you've heard this story. But in verse 5, it says, the Pharisees said, "Teacher, the woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses said to stone her. What do you say to do?" And these Pharisees, they were trying to set up Jesus so he could say the wrong thing. And he didn't even look at him. It says he was writing on the ground, and he didn't look up. And they kept asking questions, and they kept asking questions. And then it says he straightened up, and then he said, "Let any one of you who has no sin throw the first stone." And then it was a free-for-all. They all started throwing stones at her. No, it wasn't a. One at a time, they began to leave. And I'm sure there wasn't a D in it in a rowdy Y. I'm sure they just sheepishly just walked away. One by one. Until it was just the woman and Jesus. He straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Was there anybody there that could have thrown a stone at her? Could anybody there in that place throw a stone? There was. There's one person that could have thrown a stone. Jesus was completely blameless. He could have thrown the stone. He could have stuck by the law if he wanted to. He was completely worthy to throw the stone. But he said, "Neither do I. Go now and leave your life of sin." He chose not to. But did he say, "Go, you're free"? No, that last bit is important. He says, "Go now and leave your life of sin. Make a change. Your past is in the past, but make a change." Again, are you free this morning? In verse 31, chapter 8, same chapter as we're on, it says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?' Jesus replied, 'Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" When you're connected to Jesus, the future is bigger than your past. It's time to let go of the past and make your struggles from the present your past. Cling to Jesus and let it go, and He is our future, living a life with the Holy Spirit. And like I said earlier, maybe a process of dealing with your past or with your issues. Maybe it's a process, but the daily life of putting Him first and getting after Jesus in the Word. And Friday, the United Youth, she was speaking about putting on your Jesus jacket, picking up your Jesus jacket every morning and declaring that He is with us, I'm going to live for Him, and things might come from my past to try and attack me. Things may come a day, and I might slip up a day. But I'm choosing to put on my Jesus jacket, and I'm choosing this day to move forward. And they just staying in the past, but moving forward to our future with Jesus. And the third area I want to look at is power. There's power in words. And some in this room this morning have had lies spoken over them that has affected and might still be affecting them this morning to this very day. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue can bring death or life. NIV says, the tongue is the power of life and death. New King James Version says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I like a Message version, but I think Nathan couldn't get it this morning, but it says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, and you get to choose. Poison or fruit, and you choose. And words are important to Jesus as well. In Matthew 12:34-37, it says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. We're all going to have to give account of the words we say on the day of judgment. And they're so important in other people's lives. If I was to ask you this morning, fits your life to death ratio in your words this morning? This is sometimes, Miriam will probably, she'll say to me, sometimes if I say stuff to the bairns, sometimes I say stuff without thinking. And then after I'm like, oh, maybe that's going to hurt them. But none of us are perfect. And it's a choice every day. Every moment is a choice. But our words have got the power to impact other people's lives. It says in Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs down the heart. But a kind word, or some versions say, or an encouraging word cheers it up. Be conscious in the fact that your words can change somebody else's hell life. Use your words to be an encourager of others. But if you've had lies spoken, and I do mean lies, because sometimes the enemy uses people to say things over our lives that are not true, and it can be holding us back for years down the line, if they're allowed to. But if you've got lies spoken over you and you are carrying this and have been affected, we're going to pray through this area at the end as well. In the last area, and certainly nay the least, I want to speak about is letting go of unforgiveness. In other words, it's time to forgive or start the process of forgiveness. Are you carrying any unforgiveness in your heart? I'm not going to show of hands, but you're going to cane if there's anything that you're holding back in that area. And I think unforgiveness is probably the biggest thing that causes people to become bitter in their heart, to cause hearts to harden and people to run from Jesus. In some instances, walk out that door and never come back. Because other fallible people around you have hurt you, and we are our people in this building. None of us are perfect. We are the church, we're human, and at times others are going to hurt us. But it's got to be dealt with, because if you let it continue to eat you up, that's when the bitter, hard hearts come in. And forgiveness is the key to living this life, I think. Jesus used parables quite often to teach. And in Matthew 18:21, we find another parable of the unmerciful servant. It says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times, or 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." So we're called to extend the forgiveness to others that we've been given and received. How much have we been forgiven this morning? Each one of us was destined for the grave, but instead, we're going to spend eternity with him. Not because we just deserved to be let off, but because through his grace, we were paid for. A big cost to him, but we were given it. It's really good to hear people around us that in the Word and spend time in the Word. I was speaking with Kevin about this on Friday, and I was speaking about the bit there about this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of us unless you forgive. And he was saying he's throwing the jailers in to be tortured. But that's not Jesus used parables to teach, but that's not the Word we stand on. That's the stories. And that's not, the torture is not within Jesus. It's not his heart and nature. But Finesse says about the we're going to be thrown in to pay back. We'll never be able to pay back our debts. But unless we forgive, we kind of trap ourselves in that prison. And we get ourselves into a prison. And we will never get out to that prison, the unforgiveness being held has over us, unless we choose to extend that forgiveness. And Kevin helped me understand that. It was really good that If we come and say, Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done, we're going to go to heaven. But in this life here, unless we forgive, we're going to be trapped. If anybody's held unforgiveness, or anybody, it's no good. The feeling you had and it all. I'll come on to that in a bit. But throughout Scripture, we can read of the consequences of unforgiveness. Mark 11 speaks about when you're in prayer, and if we hold any forgiveness in our heart, it can hinder our relationship with Jesus and our connection. So I've said how important it is there, but I want to come back to verses 21 and 22 again. It says, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Up to seven? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven times. So C.S. Lewis said it like this. We need to forgive our brother 70 times seven. Not only for 490 separate offenses, but for one offense. So at forgive them 70 times 7 adds to 490, was it? It's nay, Phil, you've hurt me 490 different times. So you've got 490, the 491st, you've had your lot. It's 490 times for every single one. In other wise, Tim Delena says, to forgive for the moment is not the difficult part, but to go on forgiving, to forgive every time the same offense recurs in the memory, that's the real tussle. So we can forgive. Sorry, Phil's not doing anything, by the way, to me. Me and Phil are getting on all right, and but he was in front of me. So Phil, pretend that you've really hurt me, and I'm holding unforgiveness against Phil. Father, is there anything that Phil's done to me? No, we're safe, Phil. You're all right. But if I was holding this unforgiveness, and I'm over here in my spare time, I'm saying, Lord, let me forgive Phil for what he's done to me. And then I have my time with the Lord and I feel I've forgiven him. I'm good. Then a week later I'm walking over here and I see Phil. Rage comes within me. I need to go back and deal with it again. 490 times each offense. It's not necessarily going to be the first time that you try and forgive somebody that they've forgiven, but it's important that you are picking it up and commencing that journey of unforgiveness, if it is a journey. It might happen the first time, which is great, but if that continues to come, mark it a process, mark it a journey. In other words, it's got to be a life of ongoing forgiveness. That's what we've received for Jesus. Every time we sin, he forgives us. Even the same slip-up, and we've got to pass on that same forgiveness to others. When we've got unforgiveness against others, we're nae affecting their life whatsoever. They go on blissfully unaware, don't they? It's ourselves that the unforgiveness hinders and hurts. We are the ones that have been held back. Has anybody got a scar on their body anyway? Ken Holly's got a big one down here. So Eddie, Lorraine, they've got scars. Let me ask you this question, Holly. Does that scar hurt right now? No. But when you see the scar, what does it remind you of? The surgery. When you woke up and it was fresh and you were past all the medication that was keeping you out of your mind, was it there then? You had pain. For that first thing comes, or if you've cut yourself, you've hurt your, gashed your leg or something, there's pain there when it's fresh. But it had to be covered up, it had to be guarded, it had to be dealt with. If it would happen if we continued to poke it, it would never heal. And the same happens with emotional wounds that we carry, for we've been hurt. We've got to deal with them. Things for our past, sometimes abuse, hurts, and often it's caused by family members or close friends to us, because the folk we love can cause the biggest damage to us most of the time. A lot of times strangers will say something, or but it's kind of like off water off a duck's back, is that how they say? Because you've got no emotional connection. But sometimes it can cause us emotional wounds that we carry through, but they've got to be dealt with as well, through forgiveness and letting go of the issues that have caused and move forward. And it's difficult to do in our own, but Jesus, who died for us when we're still sinners, is here by the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. He's also placed people around us in the church body that can help come alongside with us, share in our hearts, and help pray together, whether that's ones, twos, or in a group. And you might always remember the moment that the scar was there, but it doesn't mean it needs to cause you pain in your future. And your actions and you'll ken if you've dealt with that unforgiveness, because you wouldn't be able to get past the situation without causing you pain. And it may have to be forgiven more than once until the pain is completely gone. But the important thing is getting on the journey of unforgiveness and nailing it, continue to pull you down as you're moving forward. And as it does, let's deal with it time and time and time again. We kind of had on to the unforgiveness. It's time to let go, to heal our hearts, to ensure our relationship with others are right, and to ensure our relationship with Jesus is right. It's not easy, this journey of life we're on, is it? But it is easier with Jesus, and he's here to help us through. So that's a word that I had for you this morning, and really felt the Lord put it in my heart. I feel we're in an incredible moment as a church. We've had a really amazing start to the year, and God is moving. But I think for some to fully join in moving forward with Jesus, and the windshield needs to deal with some things that are in the rearview mirror that's had in its past. It's time to let it go. So I don't want the worship team to come up yet, but just while every eye is closed and heads bowed, please, so nobody's looking, I'm just going to have a moment to respond to fit we've covered this morning. And then I'm just going to say a general prayer over at four areas. So if there is any of this that is spoken to you this morning, you feel that you need to let go of some of these things, the feeling that you're not enough, the shadow of your past hanging over you, lies spoken over you, untrue words, or if you feel your words you kind of control your words that you're saying or others, or unforgiveness. If you want me to include you in that prayer, I want to ask you for it. Is all I want to see is just while every eye is closed and head. If you want to be included in that prayer, just raise your hand now and we'll see that there is people that wants prayer. Thank you. You can put your hand down if I've seen it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you can put your hand down if you... So let me tell you this morning that you're not the only. There is numerous people that has gone through this as well, but we're on the journey together. So I'm just going to pray for us right now. And I will just go to prayer right now. Father, I thank you that you are a good God. You see our hearts. You know far we've been, far we are, and far we're going, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you are a compassionate God. And you extend your grace as we need it, Lord. I want to pray for the people who have responded this morning with a feeling that they're not enough. That their past is holding them back, causing them issues that needs to be dealt with. Lord, we come against any lies from the enemy that has been spoken over us, and we declare freedom in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for those that are dealing with unforgiveness issues, Lord. We pray that you would come through the power of the Holy Spirit and rest upon each person in here this morning. Each person that has raised their hand and declared that they are in need of help to come through whatever situation that they are in. And we thank you that only you can help us do that, Father. Father, we just ask that you would come and have your way in each person's life, Lord. As we said at the start, we are your masterpiece. You've created anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things that you've planned for us long ago. Father, we just want to join with you and, Father, declare that you are God, you are Lord of our lives, and that we would join you in the things you've got planned for us, Father, one day at a time. And, Father, we pray that you would help us as we go and continue on our journey. Father, thank you for the things you're doing in our church, in our lives. And we say, come and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Paul and the team, if you just come back. So thank you for listening this morning. It's not my usual kind of word, but I really felt the Lord had something that he wanted to bring. But if there is anything specifically that you would like prayer for, feel free to grab me or Ruth or any of the leadership team after a service. We'll be more than happy to pray with you. But thanks for listening and bless you.